maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
This is Pastor Brandon coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brandon live broadcast. Good to be here today. Good afternoon, good evening, early evening, whatever it might be. And thank you all for tuning in. Going to be talking about Roman Catholicism today. Going to be talking, just kind of give like a brief overview on Roman Catholicism. And hopefully that when I'm done, that I can show you guys why Roman Catholicism is not Christian. Okay? Roman Catholicism is not Christianity. What it is ancient Babylonian witchcraft. And some of the things I'm going to show you today, and I got a couple of books I'm going to introduce. But there is, there's going to be some things I'm going to be talking to you about how Catholicism ties into Nazism. And when I say that, is that Hitler had actually made allegiance with the Pope. And I'm going to show you the similarities between what Nazism believed and what Catholicism believes. And first and foremost, if we think about the fact that Nazism mingled themselves with the Catholic Church, that should tell you something about the Catholic Church, folks. Why would any denomination who claims to be born again and a believer be for Nazism? Just throwing it out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting all wound up now. But there is absolutely no way any born-again Christian should ever be involved in Nazism. Okay? You know, sister, you just mentioned the CIA. That's what Bush 41 was involved with, the CIA. His father, Prescott, was involved in, I think he was involved with funding Nazism. I think it was helping to fund, but he was, in a sense, a Nazi collaborator is what he was. That's who Prescott was. But the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, is behind a lot of stuff, okay? And we have to remember that Rome is pagan. Still is. And there's actually a book that I'm going to be getting into. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you guys this right now. It's a book called the Collegiate Baptist History Workbook by James R. Beller. This book was given to me by an elder from my church, and is a book that I received as a gift. And this gets into Baptist history from the time of, basically from the time of Christ, kind of after, to basically our days. So basically, it's kind of like, this is kind of where like it picks up after Revelation. It's not, and keep in mind when I say that, this is not the inspired word of God, okay? This is a piece of work that a man did to show history of Baptists, okay? This is not Bible. This is a book, okay? But there are verses in this book, okay? And there's history in this book, okay? So this takes from probably be sometime even before Revelation was written, all the way up to our day. So it gives you a history of the Baptists, and really just something I wanted to share with you guys is that the reason why we're called Baptist is because the group of people that were being persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church, okay, they believe, the people that were being persecuted believed in a believer's baptism. Okay, the Catholic Church as well as the Lutheran Church, and I grew up Lutheran, okay, the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church both hold to infant baptism, which is not biblical, okay, it's not biblical. And so I'm going to be reading a little bit of this, and I'm going to be reading a little bit of this from this book as well. By the way, I have to find out where you can get this book, but I'm sure you could find it like on Amazon or anywhere like this. Anything like that. I'm not even sure how much. I wouldn't imagine it would cost that much. But if it's something that interests you, you know, might be a good book to read. The next book I'm gonna show you guys is this. A Woman Rides the Beast by Dave Hunt. This book, it's actually been a really long time since I've read this book. But this book outlines Roman Catholicism and how the Roman Catholic Church is the woman who rides the beast. This is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. And so he ties the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church, and he ties it in with you know, Mystery Babylon, and also kind of gets into the New World Order. So I'm going to be reading a little bit from this. I have another book done by a man by the name of Malachi Martin. Windswept House. You see that? That right there is what the Pope carries around. That's what El Papa carries around. Okay? We call that the bent cross. Okay? This, I found actually something very interesting in this book. I haven't actually had a chance to read it in depth, but I found something interesting that I'm going to read from this book. And it kind of gives some detail about the Catholic Church. Okay, so I can't say much about this book because I haven't actually read it yet. But Malachi Martin, I'm going to be, Windswept House, I'm going to be reading a little bit of this. There's actually a part in here that's actually quite shocking. And so I'm going to be reading that as well. So those are kind of like the three books I've got. And I'm going to be kind of sharing a little bit of those. And I'm going to show and prove why people like Pope Francis can be a donkey, and he is a donkey because all they care about is money. And so, so today's programming is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be more of a, an overview, introductory based. Amen. So we're going to kind of just take a look at some things and just kind of go from there. So let us see. So here's the verse I kind of want to start off with. Okay. Actually, there's two verses I'm going to start off with. And this is what it is. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11, 14, okay? And we're going to read through verse 15. It says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15 says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Okay, let me tell you something. One of the devices of Satan, okay, Satan will disguise himself to being the very thing he wishes to destroy. Okay, so what Satan did was he took Catholicism and transformed it into a Christianese thing. Why? So he could try to destroy Christianity. Okay? And by the way, it all started with a man by the name of Constantine. Okay? So with that said, I'm going to be whipping this book out, the Collegiate Baptist History Workbook. And I'm going to read some things from here. Okay? Chapter 4, the churches of the 4th century. Now, the verse here, they have here, is John chapter 16, verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? Amen? Doesn't that sound very familiar to you? Because the Catholic Church persecuted born-again believers, and they killed anybody who disagreed with El Papa, the Pope. The talking popes. Amen? And so, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to actually read on page 48 in a section called Constantine's Conversion. Okay? So, it says this: until the time of Constantine, every Roman emperor was a practicing pagan. Okay? Rome was a paganistic city. Italy was pagan. There was nothing Christianized about Rome or Italy. Rome was pagan. And every emperor was a practicing pagan. Okay? Belief in the Roman system of gods and sub-gods was a way of life. Every citizen was required to live and believe in the gods. That is why Christians suffered under the emperors. In the year 312, the emperor Constantine marched against Maxentius, who had usurped the government of Italy and Africa. Constantine seems to have been brought up by his father to believe in one God. Although he did not know who this God was. Okay, stop right there. Constantine didn't even know who God was. He just was brought up that there is one God. And let me tell you why I mentioned Constantine. Because Constantine was the one and responsible for the marriage between paganistic traditions and to Christian tradition. He was the one that married paganistic practices into Christianity. That's what you get with Catholicism. Okay? They took bits and parts of Christianity and they mingled it with Catholicism. Now, let me just play this for a second.
People who do that should be arrested.
That's right. People who do that should be arrested. You gotta have a little fun with that, right? But that's what Constantine did. He married paganistic traditions into Christianity. Which begs the question, was Constantine a born-again Christian? My whole answer to that is, hang on a second. My whole answer to that is no. He was not a Christian. If he was, he wouldn't have married paganistic tradition with Christianity. Sometimes when people look at Constantine, they get a little confused. Okay? I'm just having fun with my buttons now. I gotta lay off the buttons here for a little bit. Let's see here. He had revealed himself in the Holy Scripture, but as he was on his way to fight the M place, I'm calling it M place because I can't pronounce it. He saw in the sky an appearance which seemed like the figure of a cross with words around it, "By this conquer." He then caused the cross to be put on the standards or colors of his army. When he had defeated the place that starts with an M, I'm sorry, Maxentius. He set up at Rome a statue of himself. Why would you set up a statue of yourself in Rome? That's like pretty much like putting up. That's like that right there is like pride at its core. Because you think that you've done something great that you feel like you need to honor yourself by putting a statue. And by the way, a statue can be an idol. It is an idol. It is dumb. It's got a mouth and is dumb. It can't speak. Amen. It's got legs and it can't walk. It's got feet. Can't move. With a cross in his right hand with an inscription which declared that he owed his victory to the saving sign. Signs can be deceiving. And yet he dedicate a victory to a saving sign. How does that work? You see, it almost kind of seems like you got all, this is kind of where, you know, with Constantine, this is kind of where Catholicism, you know, starts to churn and take place. It could have been a lot earlier, but I mean, you see that this is where where he takes paganism and mixes it and marries it into Christianity. Let's see here. Okay, so about the same time Constantine overcame Maxentius, Licinius put down Maximin in the east. The two conquerors now had possession of the whole empire, and they joined in publishing laws while the Christians were allowed to worship God freely according to their conscience. Okay, let me tell you something. That sounds good, right? That sounds really good. I mean, to worship our Lord Jesus Christ freely, right? This was called the Edict of Constantine. Okay? Constantine defeated Licinius in battle in AD 324, and the whole empire was once more united under one head. This action was both good and bad for Christianity. The good part was that it gave some peace to the persecuted. The bad part was that it brought together the church and the state of Rome. Church and state. This is why there has to be a separation of church and state. So the state doesn't have power over the church. Amen. Constantine declared Christianity the official state religion of Rome. Therefore, by marrying the Church of Jesus Christ to the world. Hang on a second. Why is that? That's my dun-dun-da, but that's a different version of dun-dun-da, okay? He took the Church of Jesus Christ and married it to the world. That is not biblical, okay? That's not biblical. Let me just put something out here for a second. Concord. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Amen? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus Christ is not of this world. Why did Constantine take the church of Jesus Christ and marry it with the world? You want to know something? That's what you want to know what that looks like? That looks like Joel Osteen. That looks like Kenneth Copeland. That looks a lot like, the Catholic Church. Pope Francis, the talking, hang on a second, the talking, oh, wait a minute, that's not right. Pope Francis, the talking, that is like Joel Osteen. That is like all these American churches that have mingled the church with the world. And that's what Constantine did. Think about that. That's what Constantine did. Here's an important part. Okay? Satan's device in the first century was to kill the Christians. His device in the second century was to destroy the scriptures. Which, by the way, it's not just the second century. It's even in our century he's destroying the scriptures. The non-inspired version, the NIV, which is the Bible version of HIV. No, that was a bad. Sorry, I'm not gonna go there again. I apologize. But the NIV, the non-inspired version, is a sinister version that brings people to hell because there's so many things added and taken away from it, and it stems. And that Bible, along with all these New Age Bibles, stem from the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus. Yes, thank you, sister. It has 64,000 missing words. That's how corrupt it is. So, we see that Constantine married the Church of Jesus Christ with the world. Okay, that's this right here. Okay, so if you guys want to, like, I mean, I have to look it up, but you can probably get this. It's a good book. We're actually going through it in Sunday school, and it's pretty fascinating to see just the history of the Baptists. Amen. Now, I want to bring your attention to another book here. Actually, before we get into this book, okay. I want to get into The One Swept House by Malachi Martin. Okay? There's something in here I just want to read because it's very interesting. So this is going to be speaking as per the Catholic Church. Okay? In 1963, that was not that long ago. Okay? That was back in the 60s. Okay. So, the enthronement of the fallen archangel Lucifer was effected within the Roman Catholic Citadel on June 29th, 1963. So, let me just rephrase that, because actually that's going to be kind of the part I wanted to read. On June 29th in 1963... in a Roman Catholic, basically a Roman Catholic church, they enthroned Lucifer. Means they propped Lucifer up as a god, little g. So let me ask you something. Okay? Let me ask you something. If Catholicism really is the only true church, why are they enthroning? Why did they enthrone the? Wait a minute, enthronement. Is that the right term? Enthronement. I think so. I might be wrong. I got a whole bunch of stuff going on in my mind right now. But why are they worshiping Lucifer? If the Catholic Church, if the Roman Catholic Church was indeed the one true church, why are they worshiping Lucifer? Why? Why are they worshiping a fallen cherub? By the way, God says you're not supposed to do that. You're not. And by the way, hang on a second. Let's see here. Let me worship the creation. I think it's the term. Let's see here. Hang on a second. Anyways, I can't. You know what? Hang on. I don't know. Okay. Well, the Bible. God tells us about how there are people that will worship the creation rather than the Creator. And by the way, Lucifer was a creation. He wasn't the Creator. He was the creation. God created Lucifer for the purpose of him to worship God. But he rebelled. Okay? Now, I want you guys to turn with me to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. And I know, I didn't really plan this very well, so I apologize. I feel like I'm rambling on and on and on. Isaiah 14, 12. Okay, starting in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And we see that in 1963, they enthroned Lucifer in a Roman Catholic church. As a matter of fact, let me just kind of just show you. I don't know if you all can see that or not. Can you all see that? Can you all see that right there? That's 1963. That's page 7. Okay? That's in this book right here. Okay? So the Roman Catholic Church worships and they pray, they sing praise to their false deed. They sing praise to a devil. That's the ultimate devil. The father of lies. That's who they sing to. And why do people get sucked into the thinking that Catholicism really is a Christian denomination when it really is just Babylonian witchcraft? Okay? And so it's not right. Okay, it's not right. So now what I want to take a look at next. The last book I have here is A Woman Rides the Beast. Okay? Woman Rides the Beast. Here we go. On page, what is it? 80, is that 86? I don't know. Yeah, 86. Page 86. Okay? Page 86. This is what Pope Innocent III said. Okay? Pope, if you don't know who El Papa the Innocent III, which, by the way, Pope Innocent is not innocent. He is very much guilty. That's a... Anyways, but he goes by the name of Pope Innocent III. He said this. He said, every cleric must obey the Pope, even if he commands what is evil, for no one may judge the Pope. Hang on a second. Hang on a second.
People who do that should be arrested.
Yeah, that's right. People who do that should be arrested. The Pope is a liar, and actually a lot of the people who went against the Pope had said and believed that could the papacy be the fulfillment to the Antichrist, because the Pope, the papacy, is very much Antichrist in nature. Okay, now from today's code of canon law, okay, this is what it says: the first see, Rome and papacy, is judged by no one. It is the right of Roman Pontiff himself alone to judge. All I gotta say is, no, that's not right. Then he's putting himself as God. The first see is judged by no one. Wrong. It is the right of the Roman Pontiff himself alone to judge. Wrong again. Those who hold the highest civil office in a state, there is neither appeal nor recourse against decision or decree of the Roman Pontiff. Now, if you all think I'm making that up, I'm going to show you right now. Look at that. Look at that. I know it's backwards, and I don't know if you could see that well. But I just read that. It's straight from, okay, right here. This is documentation that Dave Hunt documented in his book to show you how bad the Roman Catholic Church really is. Amen? That's what that is. The Pope is a fraud. That's what he is. He is a fraud. And he is a counterfeit. That's what he is. I'm sorry, guys. I'll put it up again. I know it's hard to see, but it's backwards, so I apologize. I don't know how to fix that. I really don't. I'll tell you what, I'll take a picture of it and I will post it on Facebook. And yes, the Pope is a wolf. He is indeed oh my word. He is indeed a in sheep's clothing. That's what he is. I'm going to take a picture of this, and I'm going to send it on Facebook so that once I'm done, you can see it better. So, and I apologize, it's backwards. I don't know how to fix that. So I think I'd have to turn the camera around and point it in such a way and actually snap it. So after I'm done, I will take a picture of that so you all can read it. Now, let's see here. Here we go, the Holocaust, okay, Dave Hunt writes a chapter in here called The Background to the Holocaust. Let's see here, according from an article from the Clerosblatt Oregon of the Bolivian Association of Diocese Priests Honoring Hitler on his 15th birthday. Hang on a second. Get ready for it. Oh, wait. April 20th, 1939. This is what it says. God's holy providence has provided that in a decisive hour, he, as in Hitler, be entrusted with the leadership of the German people. Now, according to a Catholic newspaper, this is a Catholic newspaper. In 1941, by the name of by a guy named Friar Franjo Kurlik in Zagreb, whatever that is. This is what he says in a Catholic newspaper. The Nazi movement for freeing the world from the Jews is a movement for the renaissance of human dignity. The all-wise and almighty God is behind this movement. He's basically saying that God is behind the Nazi movement. This was a Catholic newspaper. Now, why would a Catholic newspaper side with Nazis? Why? The Vatican. Okay, the Vatican is a city within a city, and it's basically the Pope's hometown. And by the way, in the Vatican, in the Vatican, outside the Pope's front yard, there is a male-shaped part that looks like a certain part. That's all I'm going to say to that. I'm going to try to keep it PG. But in a sense, there is a phallic symbol in the front of the Pope's front yard in the Vatican, which is, as they would say, as Baal's shaft. That's what that is. And by the way, Washington, D.C. has one of those. Though they call it the Washington Monument. They call that the Washington Monument. So, here we go. I'm going to start reading some of this book. I think we need to hear some of this stuff. The approval of Hitler by Catholic prelates and their statements about freeing the world from the Jews seems shocking, yet they only reflect Catholicism's historic treatment of the Jews. Hitler justified his final solution by pointing out that the church had opposed and killed Jews for centuries. How amazing that those who claim to be the followers of Christ and successors of Peter could persecute the race from which Peter and Jesus sprang. Yet they did it in the name of Christ and felt justified thereby. I want you guys to listen very carefully to what I'm about to read to you. Listen very carefully. Roman Catholics were taught they had replaced the Jews as God's chosen people. That's very clever, Pope. Protecting over pedophiles everywhere. You know, that's interesting because Pope Francis, he seems to be protecting a lot of pedophiles himself. At least I think he is. He just fires them. He just fires these cardinals. And it's interesting that it's these cardinals and these bishops that are the number one place for pedophiles. I think a part of it has to do with them having to practice celibacy. Don't get me wrong. There are heavenly eunuchs. God creates. Here's what I mean by heavenly eunuchs. I probably a bad word to use. Okay. Here's what I mean. There are people like Paul, the apostle, who was never married. Okay. If he was never married, that means he probably may have been a eunuch. Okay? He may have been a eunuch. Because he never knew a woman. Okay? He wasn't married. You know why? Because his main focus was on the ministry. And there are people like that. There are people who maybe they're not called to be married. But the Catholic Church, I just took that and like, I don't know. They're just saying everyone needs to be... Everyone needs to be single because they're married to the church. That ain't right. That's not right. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? Okay. Now, the land of Israel promised by God to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob now belonged to Christian Rome. No, it does not. I just did a message on this just yesterday. And even before that, okay, I talked about how God is not finished with Israel. That's right, sister. Call no one father, but he that is in heaven. Okay, now let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the heir to the land of Israel. Why? Because he's called the son of Abraham. See, the Catholics have it so twisted and so, I mean, just want to make, just, you just want to just like take your hair and yank it out. It's just so frustrating. Let's see here. She became the new Zion, the eternal city and the holy city. By the way, there is nothing holy about Rome, and there is nothing holy about the Vatican. The Vatican, excuse my language, but the Vatican is really a breeding ground for whores. The Vatican itself is the whore of Babylon. I'm going to tell you something. That Vatican is going to get judged one of these days. There's nothing good that comes out of the Vatican. Don't ever think there is. The only thing that comes out of the Vatican is a bunch of brood vipers and serpents. Which, by the way, snakes are an abominable, disgusting beast. I hate them. Snakes are disgusting. They're abominable. I hate them. I don't like looking at them. They make me puke my guts out. And I can lose appetites because of looking, just even looking at it. I have a fear. I have such a fear of snakes. I hate them. I'm afraid of them, and I hate them, and I just despise those disgusting reptiles. That's right. They have poison. They have venom. And I'm going to tell you something. Pope Francis, the talking fascist pope, has poison. Let me tell you something about Pope Francis. Pope Francis is a Jesuit. Okay? There's two Jesuit popes. Okay? You've got the Jesuit general, who goes by the name of the Black Pope. And you've got the White Pope, which is Pope Francis. And he is a Jesuit pope. And by the way, isn't it interesting that knowing that he's a Jesuit pope, that Pope Francis is poking his big fat nose into evangelical sinners, such as Kenneth Copeland. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that Pope Francis, the talking pope, is poking his big fat ugly nose and rearing his ugly head in places like Islam, Judaism, Christianity, and all these world religions. And by the way, you know what he's going to do with them? He's going to try to bring them together for a one world religion. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. What do you think the purpose of the Jesuit is? The Jesuits are nothing but terrible spies that go in and they're going to try to bring everybody under the Pope. The Second Vatican Council was basically, we're not going to kill anybody. We're just going to get everybody underneath the Pope. That's what Vatican II was. The Vatican, there's nothing but a bunch of religious morons that stay in the Vatican. Oh, and speaking of religious idiots and religious morons, and by the way, those idiots and morons are ones that Jesus died for. And I don't mean, and I have to apologize. I really shouldn't use the word idiot, and I really shouldn't use the word moron, but they're a bunch of bozos. But Jesus Christ did die for those people. But they flat out reject him and they flat out serve Satan. To the people in the Vatican, it's the people in the Vatican are doing nothing but hail Satan. That's what the Vatican is. The Vatican is what is that? Is it den? What's the term? Does anybody know the term for a bunch of serpents that live underground? Does anybody know? Does anybody know that term? I can't remember. Is it? Well, I know the Bible uses the word brood. I'm wondering if that's the term, brood. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, brood. They are nothing but a bunch of brood vipers. And it's really sad, too, because, you know what? I just thought of something. Catholicism brainwashes. Okay? What do you think they do in Freemasonry? They brainwash and they lie. They lie. So does the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church says, don't bring a Bible. We'll tell you what to believe. You just believe it. That's a bad idea. I'm going to tell you something right now. One of the forbidden books in Roman Catholicism is this King James Bible. They say that you can't read it because it's forbidden. I wonder if Catholicism has strong ties to Freemasonry. I know they do. They say you can't really be a Freemason and a Catholic, but that's a bunch of hogwash. That's a bunch of nonsense and a bunch of phooey. Okay? I don't know. It's just that, I mean, you got the Knights of Columbus. You've got all these other Freemasonic things that are very, very well Catholic indeed. But anyways, just a thought I want you guys to kind of ponder. let's see here. Here we go. Great report. So getting back to the book, okay? I'm not done yet. I'm going to continue beating this until this thing's dead. But I don't want to keep beating the dead horse over and over again. Let's see here. The territory under the immediate domain of the Pope was enlarged whenever war or treaty could increase it, and the inhabitants had to pay the utmost tax they could bear. Oh yeah, Knights Templar. There you go, Knights Templar. That's one. Great reproach upon Christ. Those who call themselves vicars of Christ have brought great reproach upon the name of Christ by their treatment of Jews. The latter mistake equate Catholicism with Christianity. The Jews who were persecuted through the centuries by the Roman Catholic Church didn't realize that there were millions of Christians outside that church, Christians who did not persecute God's chosen people and were themselves persecuted and killed by Catholics. And far greater numbers than were the Jews. Consider the following indictment of Christianity from a scholarly rabbinical treatise on the Holocaust. Note that Roman Catholicism is critiqued, not evangelical Christianity, which the author and his Jewish readers may not even know exists. This is from the chapter titled "The Christian Role in the Holocaust." Well, that's a bit of a stretch, but because no born again Christian was ever involved in execution of other people. God's people wouldn't do that. Okay. It says without Christianity, the success of Nazism would not have been possible. Without Roman Catholicism, Christianity. Without Roman Catholic Christianity. Now, it doesn't say that, but you can see that Hitler made allegiance with the Pope. He worked with the Pope. Let's see here. I don't want to get too much into it, but let's see here. Actually, hang on a second. Were it not for the fact that dozens of generations in Europe have been imbued with religious hatred, the growth of racist hatred towards Jewry in modern times could not have taken place. Furthermore, all the All throughout the Holocaust, the Vatican refrained from protesting the murder, and by a large stood aside, rescuing only a tiny few. To this day, the Vatican refuses scholars full access to the documents of the period. Why? Because the Vatican is covering something up. The Vatican is a strange... She is that strange woman. She is the mother of harlots. Amen. She is the mother of harlots. Let's see here. I lost my place. Okay. Here's what I want to do. I want to go to this next page. Actually, a set of pages. The Church and the Third Reich. Okay. This is important. Okay. Catholics in increasing numbers rallied to the support of Hitler's Third Reich. Catholics were in favor of Hitler's Third Reich. How can we sit here and say that Roman Catholicism is Christian? It's not. People who think that are either ignorant or they're brainwashed. It's one of those two. Okay, Catholics in increasing numbers rallied to the support of Hitler's Third Reich. Organizations such as Cruz and Adler, which is Cross and Eagle, were formed with leading Catholic professors of theology such as Otto Schilling and Theodor Brauer, newspapermen like Emil Ritter and Eugen Kogan, and other Catholic leaders pledged to support the new Nazi regime. I'm going to tell you something. The Nazis are wicked. They're wicked people. And we got them here. We got them Nazis in our nation. They're not wearing the swastikas. Except if you look at the neo-Nazis, then yeah, they got them physically shown. Catholic leaders pledged to support the new Nazi regime. Catholic leaders, such as El Papa, the Pope back in World War II, the Pope had wanted to just, I don't know, the Pope is wicked. Amen? Hitler assured the church it had nothing to fear from the National Socialism so long as it cooperated fully. The bishops called for the support of the government's program of spiritual, moral, and economic rejuvenation. By the way, Germany got hit hard with the Depression because of the Treaty of Versailles. You know that? Why? Because they were going to have Germany pay for what they did in World War I. Okay? Which, because of World War I, it rose Hitler to power, is what happened. That Hitler was a Catholic in good standing. Hitler was a Catholic in good standing. Also, he was a member of the Thule Society. And the Thule Society believed in an Aryan race. And Hitler was part of that. That Hitler was a Catholic in good standing made his promises of peaceful partnership with the church believable. He had been raised in a traditional Catholic family and regularly attended Mass. Oh, well, Hitler was such a good, sweet little boy who attended Mass. Not. Hitler was a fork-tongued devil from the pit of hell. He may have been raised Catholic, but guess what? To Hitler, it was Hail Pope. Hail the Pope. Hitler was a Catholic. Some say he was a Jew. He may have been a Jew, but he was a Catholic. According to David Hunt and the research he did in his book, he's a Catholic. Okay. He had served as an altar boy, had hoped at one time to become a priest, and attended school as a boy in a Benedictine monastery at Rambach. Part of my German. The abbot was heavily involved in the occult and Eastern mysticism. And it was at this monastery that Hitler first encountered the Hindu swastika. Hang on a second. Hang on. That's a... Oh, wait. That's a... Again, that's my version of dun-dun-dun. I don't have that button, so I have to settle for that one. Which then he later adopted. Nor did Hitler neglect to attend Catholic church service from time to time, even after he came to power. Hitler attended Catholic mass even after he was the world's most cruel and ruthless dictator. And to Hitler, it was Hail Pope. That's what he wanted. Hail Pope. His allegiance was to the Pope. He was a Antichrist. Hitler is a type and picture of the Antichrist. So that could beg the question, could it possibly be that El Papa, Pope Francis, the fascist Pope, be the false prophet? We don't know. But a lot of the things that he's doing is very suspicious. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? He's Pope Francis is a socialist, a fascist, and a communist. Pope Francis, listen. Pope Francis is a liar. And I don't care whatever laws he puts in. He is not God. He cannot change the Lord's Prayer. He cannot change the Word of God. He is a sinner that needs to be saved by grace. And I'm going to tell you something. There is only one in whom I will answer to. It is not the Vatican. It is God the Father, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. That is who I will answer to, not the Vatican. If people want to mark me as a hateful person, a person who goes against the Pope, so be it, because you know why? I am very much against the Pope. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's an antichrist. And he is not God. He is lying through his teeth. I'm not even done yet. I'm just going to keep on going. G.S. Graeber, a specialist on the history of the SS, informs us. Here's something interesting. Informs us that Himmler's Catholicism was very important to him. And he attended church regularly, took communion, confessed and prayed. Himmler's December 15th, 1919 entry in his diary read, "Come what may, I shall always love God, shall pray to him, shall remain faithful to the Catholic Church, and shall defend it." Hitler's right-hand man was a Catholic, a devout Catholic. How can the Catholic Church call themselves the one true church and claim that they stem from Peter when they have persecuted, tortured, and killed God's people and killed many Jews, as well as probably many Christians during World War II? The Catholic Church is no good, folks. The Catholic Church is a viper waiting to strike. And by the way, Paul had a viper on his hand and he shook it off into the fire. No hurt. The Catholic Church is no good, people. Amen. Remember, there is only one source of truth, and it's not Pope Francis, the socialist pope. After the war, escape was the paramount aim for SS members, of which nearly one quarter were Catholics. One quarter of the SS were Catholics. You know what's really interesting? Pope Francis, the talking pope, is reaching out to Muslims. Okay? Hitler didn't just align himself with the Catholic Church. He also aligned himself with Islamic leaders. Many of you may not know that I learned this like last year. There was an operation called Operation Werewolf. And Operation Werewolf was where you had these Nazis training Islamic forces in the tactics of guerrilla warfare. This is why all these radical Islamists are successful at what they do, because of the stuff they were taught by Nazis. And to this very day, there's a lot of Muslims who say that Hitler was a good man. And even some of the Nazi party converted to Islam. Don't know if anyone knew that or not. That's just something I know. But Operation Werewolf was an operation to train Islamic militants in the tactics of guerrilla warfare. That was Operation Werewolf. No, and not werewolf as the big scary dog that goes around biting people and turning everybody into big gigantic wolves. That was a joke. Let's see here. What time is it? It is 5. How am I looking there? It is almost 5:30. Praise the Lord. After the war escaped. Okay, so many would be successful in eluding Allied justice and reaching havens, mainly in South America. Tens of thousands of the worst Nazi war criminals, most of them Catholics, go figure, under the allegiance of the Pope. No wonder why the Roman Catholic Church is so corrupt. By the way, if I'm frozen, I don't know why that is, but I'm still streamlining, so it could be on your end. I'm not sure if it's, but anyways. What was I? I just got myself distracted. But no wonder why the Roman Catholic Church is corrupt. No wonder why. Because really cruel Nazi war criminals were Catholics. Shouldn't that not tell you something about the Roman Catholic Church? Shouldn't that not tell you something about the Vatican? Shouldn't that not tell you something about Pope Francis, the idiot Pope? Shouldn't that not tell you something about the papacy in general? They're all corrupt and they should be in jail. Even the Pope. Amen. Pope should go to jail. That's what he should. They should send him to Gitmo. But they won't. Let's see here. So most of these Nazi war criminals are Catholics. Would travel the secret rat lines to a new life. The principal agent in their escape would be. Check this out. The principal agent in their escape would be. Hang on a second. Ready? Get ready for it. The Vatican. That's a... means the Vatican had something to do with these Nazi war criminals, sending them to South America and even America under Operation Paperclip. The Vatican is responsible for dispersing Nazi war criminals. And guess what? It really is true when it said the Nazis didn't die. They moved. And guess what? They moved here in South America and anywhere else. They moved. They're not dead. The Nazis are still alive. They're just hidden in plain sight. They're chameleons. Himmler was able to compartmentalize his life so that as head of the infamous SS, he could oversee the murder of millions of people with the stroke of a pen or by verbal orders to his underlings through his vast organization, but could not pull the trigger himself. He was willing to wipe out the Jews or any other elements in society that he deemed undesirable. Yes, Bush Sr., the whole Bush family are a bunch of Nazis that came under Operation Paperclip. As a matter of fact, I have to do some research on this, but also I heard too that MKUltra MKUltra, I know, is a Nazi brainwashing program. And what I heard is that also came with into America under Operation Paperclip. He was willing to wipe out the Jews or any other element in society that he deemed undesirable. However, he did not want to see with his own eyes the blood flow, because this would induce soul searching, not to mention stomach cramps. Well, I didn't want to see blood. It gives me stomach cramps. What a sissy. He's a sissy. He's a sissy of a war criminal. That's what he is. Hey, I'm not saying that he should be a manly war criminal, because war criminals are war criminals and they deserve to be in Gitmo. But he was a... It just makes it sound like Himmler was a sissy. But I don't know. I just... Maybe that's just me. An audio and a taped copy with authentic handwriting, notes of Himmler's October 4th, 1943 speech in Posen, Poland, to 100 German secret police generals, was recently discovered and is on display in the New Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. In it, Himmler said, okay, I also want to talk to you, quite frankly, on a very grave matter. Among ourselves, it should be mentioned quite frankly, and yet we will never speak of it publicly. I mean the extermination of the Jewish race. This is a page of glory in our history which has been written and is never to be written. The SS Colonel Rudolf Hoss, Commandant of Auschwitz, and one of the greatest mass murderers in history, was also raised in a devoutly Catholic family. Why are all these Nazis Catholics? That boggles my mind. How is it all these Nazi war criminals were just devout Catholics? I don't get that. That's just corruption to its highest. That hoped to see him become a priest. He was devout to his family, fond of animals, and a fanatical believer in Hitler's Nazi religion. In his autobiography, he said, "Let the public continue to regard me as the bloodthirsty beast, the cruel sadist. They could not understand that the commandant of Auschwitz had a heart and that he was not evil. The SS, in many respects, were partnered after the Jesuit order." Man, that's like corruption on a whole new level, right? I mean, Jesuits, man, you got Roman Catholics that are not... You got Nazis that are Roman Catholics. Now you got the Jesuits. The SS, in many respects, was patterned after the Jesuit order, which Himmler had studied and admired. Not shockingly, knowing that Himmler was a devout Catholic. Okay, amazingly, the SS oath ended, "So help me God." Really? According to my Bible, according to my King James Bible, Psalm 7:11. Let's go ahead and read that, shall we? Let's go ahead and read Psalm 7:11. It says, "God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." The Nazis and Himmler and Hitler were all wicked people, and God were mad at him. Why would God help these evil war criminals? Why would God side with that? God is not the God of the dead, but the living. Remember that. Its catechism consisted of a series of questions and answers along the following lines. Why do we believe in Germany and the Fuhrer? A. Because we believe in God. We believe in Germany, which he created in his world, and in the Fuhrer, Adolf Hitler, whom he has sent to us. God did not send, a holy and righteous God did not send a fascist socialist dictator named Hitler. He allowed him, but God didn't send him. Let me tell you something. You know why Hitler came to power? Because the church didn't have discernment. Why do you think all these bad politicians are propping up? All these bad Catholic, Jesuit politicians propping up everywhere? Because the church, we the church, are having an issue with discernment. And we need to be doing our homework. Amen. Man, I'm reading a lot more than I was going to read, but that's all right. The Jews could be exterminated in the name of God by good Catholics, because for centuries their church had demonstrated this to be God's will by its relentless persecution and slaughter of those despised Christ rejectors. Stop right there. We're going back to this book just for a second. John chapter 16, verse 2. "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service." Doesn't that sound a lot like the Catholic Church to you? Doesn't that sound a lot like the Jesuits to you? Doesn't that sound a lot like what these devout Nazi Catholics were doing? Everything in the name of God, thinking that they're doing God a service when they're not? Think about that. From the very beginning, Hitler, who was well aware of the Catholic Church's long anti-Jewish record, Hitler was made aware of this. It wasn't just some idea that he just dreamt up. He was well aware of the Catholic. He was well aware of the Catholic Church's long and anti-Jewish history. Made no secret of his plans for the Jews. Meeting with the church representatives, Bishop Berning and Monsieur Steinman, on April 26, 1933, he reminded his visitors that the Catholic Church for 1,500 years had regarded the Jews as parasites, had banished them into ghettos, and had forbidden Christians to work for them. I have a sense and a feeling that Hitler got his anti-Semitics from the Catholic Church. That's incredibly shocking and very, very sad. The Catholic Church and the Vatican and the Pope have anti-Semitic, they're anti-Jew, they're anti-Jews. And yet these Catholics don't realize it because they're brainwashed by their priests. The priests are just telling them everything they need to believe, and they eat it up. The priests have made these people two times the child of hell than they are. He, Hitler, merely intended to do more effectively what the church had attempted to accomplish for so long. There is no indication that the two Catholic prelates disagreed with him. How could they without denouncing numerous infallible popes and their own infallible church? Sister, you got a point. The Catholic Church doesn't want you questioning them because they think that they're all that and they're so high and mighty. But one of these days, one of these days, that church is going to, God's going to bring that church down. He will. Okay? I mentioned quite a bit tonight. And so I'm going to kind of stop right there. We can pick up. I might make this into a whole series because there's a whole bunch of things about Roman Catholicism that we could talk about. I don't know why I went there in that direction, but I did. And hopefully this is what the Lord wanted. I just want to do what God wants me to do. Amen. So, but I was actually planning on doctrine stuff, but this is kind of like an overview. So anyways, but here's the thing. You can't be a born-again Christian and be in the Catholic Church. You can't be born again and be in the Catholic Church. Because if you truly were born again, you'd realize how corrupt that church is. They're thieves. They're killers. And the Vatican have their own SS army. You know who that is? The Jesuits. The Vatican have their own SS army called the Jesuits, started by Ignatius Loyola. And let me tell you something. Napoleon Bonaparte, one of the most infamous and one of the most short-legged dictators, said that the Jesuits were not a religious order. They were a military order. Because Ignatius Loyola was a military man, employed military tactics to infiltrate churches and governments, and that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And the Catholic Church, and now it's leaking into the Protestant Church, the evangelical churches. You don't dare to question them. But you know what? I am going to question them. Why are you a bunch of thieves? Why are you teaching heresies contrary to the Bible? Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and Pope Francis a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. The lettuce, gravy, bacon, tomato, queso, and other questionable letters that are in that are, they're watchdogs. They're the watchdogs. Probably pro-Catholic, and because a lot of the Catholics and even Lutherans, there's an article about how, I can't remember, but there was an article on how all these faith leaders, and I haven't posted, but all these faith leaders are wanting abortion. And I'm willing to bet 2-1 that all those so-called faith leaders, and they're not faith leaders, they're faith morons, they're faith idiots, they're fake idiots. Did I say fake idiots? Whatever, but I'm sorry. But all these so-called leaders, they're not leaders. They're just puppets of the Catholic Church. They're puppets of... They're puppets of the Vatican. Lutheranism is not... Lutheranism and Catholicism are kissing cousins. And yes, sister, the Catholics are misled. But just because a person may be Catholic, it doesn't mean they can't get saved. As a matter of fact, I think this will be a good time to close. Okay? I don't even know how long I've been going, but I've been going on for a while. Listen. I'm not trying to bash people over the head, and I'm not trying to pick on people. Okay? But when it comes to Roman Catholicism, people need to know what's really going on. And what's really going on is lies, deception, thievery. And it's because of Pope Francis. Pope Francis is trying to bring everyone together to have you compromise your beliefs for the sake of unity. That's not love. That's compromise. That's backwards love. The Roman Catholic Church is indeed Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The Catholic Church is not Christian. The Catholic Church is Babylonian witchcraft, in which they've murdered more people than Adolf Hitler ever did. They probably murdered more people than even Stalin or Lenin. I mean, Stalin and Lenin are pretty up there. They murdered a lot of people. But you get what I'm saying, is that the Catholic Church is responsible for the deaths of our loved ones, is responsible for the deaths of our forefathers that stood for this truth. And I'm going to tell you something. We are Baptists, and we're called Baptists because we believe in believer's baptism and not infant baptism. If you're watching this and you are a Catholic, I want to let you know that Jesus Christ loves you. Okay? You don't have to be burdened down and lied to by the Catholic Church. Jesus says, come out of her, my people. Hang on, let me get that verse up here real quick. Come out of her, my people. Is that right? Yeah, let's see here. I'm going to find that verse. I apologize. I feel really embarrassed. Let's see here. Where is it? I can't find it. Okay, but here's the thing. Jesus says to come out of her, my people, lest you be partakers of her sins. Okay, so listen, I just want to challenge you with this. If there's anyone who is a Catholic, listen, I'm not trying to be mean or pick on you, but the Catholic Church is lying to you. I want to encourage you. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. There's nothing you can do. Jesus Christ paid it all. And he paid it all in full. Jesus loves you so much that he gave his life for you on the cross. Said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. I plead with you that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I plead with you that tomorrow may be too late. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is and that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Amen. And all you need to do is sincerely go before the Lord and repent of your sin. Repent of your sin. Admit that you are a sinner. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you and to wash you of your sins. Ask him to fill you with his spirit. And ask him into your heart and life to be your Lord and Savior of your heart and life. But most importantly is to put your faith and trust in what he did for you at the cross. Amen. Believers, I just want to encourage you. No matter what times that we live in, okay, the Pope is not God. The Pope is a liar. And you don't need to listen to the Pope. There is one you need to listen to, and that is God the Father. And God the Father is the only Holy Father there will ever be. The Pope is the unholy Father. No, he's not a father. He's unholy. That's what he is. The Pope is unholy. He is not a universal bishop. He is not a bishop of your soul. Okay? The Pope is just a man. And therefore, the Pope, you don't have to listen to. It is only Jesus Christ who you need to listen to. Listen, I just want to thank you all for those who tuned in today. Please pray for me. Please pray for these videos. I think I mentioned this at the beginning. I can't remember. It's been going so long. But I figured out my issue with the unemployment thing and all that stuff. I figured that out. Apparently, for some reason, it didn't go through, which is really weird. It's just a big old mess. So pray for me with this unemployment thing. Pray for my family. Pray for the ministry. Pray for these videos. I know I probably used a lot more sound effects than I should, and that's my fault. I really gotta try to limit myself as how many times I actually use my sound. But pray that God would still take it and use it for his kingdom, for his glory, and for his honor. Amen. I love you guys. God bless you. It's a Friday night. Next week I'm gonna be back to work again, so it'll be the same old schedule as I was. So it'll be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, but it's gonna be a little bit later. So just wanna let you all know that the broadcast will be a little bit later instead of earlier. What else? I think that's about it. But please pray for me. I know this message is a message that I'm probably going to end up getting spiritually attacked. The devil didn't want any of this to be leaked out, and I don't care because it's going to come out one way or another, or one way or the other. But let's pray that if we can be in agreement, let's also pray that a lot of these Catholics will come out of the Catholic Church and be saved. Amen. Because these Catholics need to get saved. Even Freemasons, they need to come out of Freemasonry. And they need to get saved and born again. Amen. But anyways, that's about it. Listen, I hope this was a blessing to you. I know it may seem kind of harsh, and I apologize for any graphic words. There's no other way to put it. But anyways, with that said, this is Pastor Brandon. I'm going to be signing off for the evening. God bless you guys. I love you. And if the Lord willing, I might do a devotion on Sunday night. But if not, I'll see you Monday, all right? God bless you guys. I love you. We'll see you next time. See you. Bye.